God can accomplish things in our life that we can't. And there's men in that group right now that we're praying for that have challenges that only God can care for, and he's going to. We're believing God for healings. We're believing God for miracles. This is what happens when a church prays. You see miracles. You see wonders. You see signs. I've just so much loved being in this sermon series with you called Going to War. Because when we talk about going to war, we do battles on our knees. We do our fighting on our knees, and God goes to war for us. God goes to battle for us. We've been living in this movie called The War Room and being reminded that life is a battle. And because life is a battle and it has things that we can't care for on our own, that we can't do on our own, we need to go to God. And for so many of us, we have so many things that we don't know where to go with. And God says, take those things to me. Now, if we're honest in our prayer life, we all pray some. When you hear the siren go by, you probably say a prayer. When you're in church, you say a prayer. When you have more month than money, you say a prayer. Can I get an amen? There's times where we all pray a little bit. When you have no hot water, you say a prayer. When the car breaks down, you say a prayer. And if it's followed with God's last name that shouldn't be God's last name, sometimes we fall into those moments as human beings, okay? But we do say a prayer. We want to pray about the challenges of life. We want to pray, but we don't know when because our schedules are so full. We don't know if we have time for it. And in these moments, we think sometimes, why should I pray? I mean, if I can't get the cable company on the phone, how in the world is God going to hear from me? I mean, think about that for a second. And if the doctor's too busy, how in the world is God not going to be too busy for me? Or maybe there's those moments where we tried praying and we didn't get the answer. God, I prayed for my loved one and they still died. God, I prayed for cancer and the cancer didn't go away. God, I prayed for my loved one to be healed and it didn't happen. God, I don't know if I can talk to you ever again. If that's who you are and where you are today, I praise God that you're here today because God has a word for you. There is never anything that you can't take to him. God wants your heart. He wants your sincerity. He wants to talk with you. And that's what prayer is. You know, God gives us these stunning and regular promises about prayer. And Jesus gives us this one in Matthew 21, verse 22. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. There is promise after promise in God's word about prayer and the power of prayer. And it's amazing because Jesus never attached this kind of power to any other activity on the face of the earth. He didn't attach this kind of power to planning. He didn't say, if you plan right, I'll give you everything you need. If you work hard enough, I'll give you everything you need. Now, working hard is important and planning hard is important, but prayer is the only one that he ever associated this kind of power with. And then you have Jesus, who is co-equal with God. He's co-equal with God. Jesus is the commander of heaven's armies, yet we find that Jesus regularly got away and did what? He prayed. And if the God of the universe and Jesus Christ needs to pray, we know that we need to pray. We're told that prayer is the most powerful endeavor you could ever possibly have in your life. Yet it's one of the greatest struggles that we have. Lord God, I believe you can do this. I'm praying hard. Oh, Lord God, I have doubts. Oh, God, I know you're going to come through. Oh, Lord God, help my unbelief. Oh, Lord God, I know you can do this. Oh, Lord God, I don't know what's going on in my life, and I'm not sure you're hearing me or not. Don't we find ourselves praying like that sometimes? I mean, don't we find ourselves in and out of, God, I believe, God, I don't, God, I trust you, God, I don't? And that's where we are with prayer. It's the most powerful experience we can ever have in our life, but yet it seems to escape so many of us. If that's who you are, and it happens for me, I struggle in prayer, then we're not alone. Because the disciples were clueless when it came to prayer. They struggled with prayer. They struggled in how to talk to God. As a matter of fact, we know this because in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, they say this to Jesus. One of them speaks up and says, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, we know that this is a challenge for them because the disciples never asked Jesus anything else that specific to teach them before other than the concept of prayer. Lord God, teach us to pray. They didn't say, Lord God, teach us to fish. Oh God, would you show us how to preach? Lord God, would you teach us how to walk on water? They didn't ask for any of that. They said, Lord God, would you teach us how to pray? Why? Because they were desperate to try to figure it out because prayer can be so elusive. Now, here's the amazing thing. Not one disciple stood up and said, no, I'm good. I'm going to head out for this seminar. I'm going to go hunting. I got this one cared for. Not one of the disciples said, you know what? I don't need that talk on prayer, Jesus. No, thank you. Not one of them spoke up. They all leaned in. And I think God wants us to lean in today. He said, Lord God, would you teach us to pray? And in that moment, every single one of the disciples, they all lean in because every single one of them wanted to know how to pray more, how to pray better, how to pray deeper, how to pray stronger, how to pray with more conviction, how to pray with more belief, how to pray more consistently, how to pray with more compassion and passion in our life. And I believe that's where every single one of us is in our life. Oh, Lord God, teach us to pray. Because when you pray, if you haven't heard it by now in the last 4 weeks, you heard it today. The Spirit of God goes to battle for you. When you pray, the Spirit of God goes to battle for you. God fights with a power that we don't have. And he goes to battle against angry clients. He goes to battle. Who needs help with angry clients? Oh my goodness, right? He goes to battle for you with broken relationships. He goes to battle for you in challenging and overwhelming and uncertain circumstances in your life. He goes to battle for you in a bad economy. Who doesn't need help with that? He goes to battle for you when you have health issues you can't care for, when you have stresses that are beyond what they feel like in this world. God knows you struggle with prayer. God knows I struggle with prayer, and that's why he gives us this verse in Romans, verse 26, chapter 8. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Who is the Spirit? The Holy Spirit of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God, three distinctive expressions and experiences of him. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. Amen. Isn't that cool? He helps us in our weakness when it comes to praying. We do not know what we ought to pray for. How many could raise a hand to that sometimes? I mean, we don't know exactly what to pray for, but watch this now. The good news is the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. So if you've ever had a moment where you can't even get the words out because you're so distraught, the Spirit's got you covered. If you don't know what to pray or how to pray, the Spirit's got you covered. If you think that you're not eloquent enough to pray and approach God, the Spirit has you covered. You see, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding for you. And when you accept Christ into your life, the Spirit is downloaded into your heart. No, by the way, he interprets all of your concerns and prayers to God. He's there, and the Spirit has your back when you pray. And when you know that you have Jesus at the right hand of God, and when you know you have the Spirit in you, there's no worrying about what we pray for. There's no worrying about our words because God's got it covered. God's got it covered. What an amazing word for us today. So don't get bogged down with the right words. Don't get bogged down with, oh God, I've got this going on. I don't know how to say this. Don't get to this point where you're so overwhelmed, you just don't even feel like you can come to God because the Spirit is there and he's got you covered. So when the disciples request a lesson on prayer, Jesus is ready. Jesus doesn't give them a dissertation. He doesn't give them a lecture. He doesn't have a class. He doesn't hold school. Jesus just simply gives them a prayer. He simply gives them a simple prayer, a quotable prayer, a repeatable prayer. He gives them what we call the Lord's Prayer, a powerful and foundational teaching tool when it comes to praying. And so what we want to talk about today is the fact that the Lord's Prayer can teach us how to pray. We know that because that's what he said to the disciples. This then is how you should pray. And then he began the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Now notice he doesn't say this is what you should pray. I think a lot of us get confused. We think that the Lord's Prayer is the only prayer that we can pray. It's not the words of the Lord's Prayer. It's the concept of the Lord's Prayer. It's not the words of the Lord's Prayer, but it's the attitude of the Lord's Prayer. It's not the words of the Lord's Prayer, but it is the focus of the Lord's Prayer that he wants to teach us how to pray. See, there's five areas of focus. If you work through the Lord's Prayer, that will help you put your thoughts on God and understand a little bit more about how we can pray passionately, and how we can pray with confidence, and how we can pray prayers that change things. You see, the power of prayer changes things. There's power in prayer, and it changes things in our life. So here's the first one. The first focus when you pray the Lord's Prayer is to focus on whom you are praying to. It's the very first thing Jesus tells us to do in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew, verse 9, chapter 6. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You see, when we pray, it's so easy for us to go straight to the requests. When we pray, it's so easy for us to go straight to, God, I need this. God, would you provide this? God, would you help me with this? Now, God's there to do that, and it's so easy to get to that. But oftentimes, we pray without confidence when we're asking because we don't even think about who it is that we pray to. We get overwhelmed. We get frustrated. We get concerned, and we throw all these requests to God. And God said, one of the attitudes of prayer you should have is to remember who I am. Now, we talked a lot about this last week when we talked about God, our Heavenly Father. But what God wants us to do, and I want to recap some of that and give you some new thoughts, but God wants you to pause and get ourselves focused on the one that we pray to. to take the focus off of ourselves, to take the focus off of our words, to take the focus off of others, to take the focus off of the distractions of the world and the distractions of our day, and really soak in who it is that we talk to, the Lord our God, the great I am. And I want to encourage you, one of the ways to do that is to realize that when you pray, prayer is worship. You see, worship isn't just singing. I think when we say when we're singing, I'm worshiping, but worship is so much more than singing. You can pray when you worship. When you give of yourself, your time, your talents, and your treasures, that's worship. When you witness baptism or experience Holy Communion, that's worship. So when you pray, it's worship. I want to encourage you to worship God when you pray. Stop and realize who it is you pray to. Stop and recognize the power of who he is, the one that commands heaven's armies, the one that has a power beyond this world, that at the sound of his name, every tongue will confess and every knee will bow at the Lord, because he is the Lord our God. And you worship him. And so here's why I want to encourage you to involve Scripture in your praying. Because when you involve Scripture in your praying, you can worship God. And when you involve Scripture in your praying, all of a sudden you realize the promises of God. And when you worship God, when you pray, you realize the God who you're praying to. So I want to encourage you, if you struggle with that, go to the book of Psalms and just read through the book of Psalms. Read a couple of Psalms a day. If you read 5 Psalms a day, you'll get through it in a month. And see the richness of David's prayer life and also how he worshiped. You'll see that both of those go together. So for me, I have needs on my prayer wall, and I write those out, and I have them surrounded in Scripture. Maybe for you, if you journal, you want to write some Scripture around your needs or your requests or your challenges, because you're reminded of who it is that you pray to. And so when you pray, you worship God. God, you are amazing. God, you are my heavenly Father. God, you are abundant. God, there is none like you. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You're the beginning and the end. Lord God, your mercies are new every morning. This is just who you are, and I'm praying to you. I'm worshiping you, and you realize that you pray to your heavenly Father, who is a good, good Father. We pray to a God who is a good God. And when you're reminded of the fact that God is good, you know that he has all things in his hands. And not only is God good, but he's working all things in your life for the good. So when you bring your request to God, you don't need to be in despair, because you know whatever concerns you have, God has a plan and he's working. Why? Because you took time to recognize and be reminded of who it is you pray to. So when you start your prayer, you focus on God, you worship God, you give him your adoration, you give him the praise that he deserves, and it builds your faith, it builds your belief to know that he's got whatever request or struggle you're about to bring to him, and you know you're able to set the tone of your heart and your life on God and put it in the right place. And so when you pray, don't act like God hasn't been there all day with you. This is just a good reminder for you that we have a good God. We have a personal God. He's not a distant deity. He's a personal God who is a good God. He's our heavenly Father. And so because of that, you don't need to introduce yourself to God when you pray. Did you know that? Hey, God, it's John. It's me. How are you doing? Like, God needs to know that. God created you, for goodness sake. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knew you and knit you together in your mother's womb before you were even born and created in this world. You do not need to announce your presence to God, because God's presence is always there. God's presence is always there. So you just continue the conversation. That's how you pray. You just continue the conversation. I think some of us forget the fact that God is with us all day long. And you're like, well, God, you know, I got this going on in my life. I got that going on in my life. And God, it's been a tough day. And God's like, I know, I've been with you all day. I've been with you all day. But God does want us to come to him, to ask him for help, to give him our needs and our challenges and our desires. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. But be mindful and be reminded of who this God is that we pray to, and the fact that he's with us every day, all day long. For those of us who have said yes to Jesus Christ, he is there. So first of all, we need to focus on who it is that we're praying to. Secondly, we need to invite God's activity and work into your life. Invite God's active work into your life. God, would you come and move in me? God, would you come and work in me? God, would you take charge? I need your heavenly activity to come down to this earth and do a new thing in my life. Oh God, would you come in your presence? And that's verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, do what you're doing in heaven, only I want you to do it here on earth. Man, that's an amazing invitation. Did you know that when you pray, it is inviting the power of God? When you pray, it's inviting the power of God to get all up in your business. When it comes to God, there is no such thing as none of your business. And we live in a culture that has become more private as the days go by, as the weeks go by, the years go by. We don't want anybody in our business. My finances is none of your business. My kid and the way I raise them is none of your business. The way I handle my business is none of your business. And we treat God like that. And God says, listen, I want you to call upon me so I can come down, and I want your invitation to be, God, have your way with me. God, get in my business. Get all up in my business. Everybody say that. You need No, you got to do it with some attitude. Like, you got to snap your fingers to the side, and you got to shake your head like this. All right, you ready? We're going to say, God, get up all my business. Ready? And if the person next to you is not getting into it, you elbow them. You got my permission to elbow them. Ready? One, two, three. God, get up all of my business. I mean, that's what we're inviting God to do. That's what you invite the movers to do when you have them come and move you from one house to the next. And Pastor Nancy and I have experience in this because we're pastors and ordained elders in the United Methodist Church. We practice something called itinerancy. And what in the world is itinerancy, you think? Well, for you, itinerancy happened back on July 1 of 2013. When Pastor Brian got a call from the bishop to go serve Cornerstone United Methodist Church in Cincinnati, and I got the call to move from Old Fort Church up in Tiffin and Fremont to come down and be your pastor here at Rolling Plains. The same thing happened for Nancy a year and a half ago when she moved on from Faith United Methodist Church to be your associate pastor here at Rolling Plains. And so someday I'll get another call, and the bishop will call me to move on to another church, and Nancy will too, and you'll have a brand new man or woman coming and leading your congregation. That's called itinerancy. So when you're itinerant, you move. Now, some of you are in the military, and you know exactly what I'm talking about when it comes to the idea of moving. Now, when you move, there is no sacred thing or sacred space in your house. The movers come in, and they invade everything. They get their hands all over everything. They handle everything. They pick up and they carry away everything. And it's not like, you know what, you know, not that room, not this room, that room. No, they need to go in there to get all of your stuff, every nook and cranny, and haul it away. And so in this moment, we realize that when we pray, we're inviting God into all of our sacred spaces, all of our places, and we're giving him every single thing in our life, all of our stuff, and we're saying, God, come and move in me. Do a new work in me. God, refresh me. Revive my soul. Do this new work in me. And we realize that when we pray and we give him these things in our life, God, have your way in my life. God, do a new work in my life. We rest in the fact that he is at work. We rest in the fact that he's going to renew our minds, revive our hearts, and that with all him, all things are made new. That's the invitation. Come, God. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Have your way. Come guide and lead me. Come influence me. Lord, your will be done, not my will be done. Would you come and be actively involved in my life? That's the second thing we pray. And oh, by the way, when you invite God to come and take something, and he hauls it away and does a new thing in your life, God, take me to new places, do new things, give me a new heart, a fresh perspective, don't take that stuff back. Don't take that stuff. You ever find yourself at a garage sale and you're selling stuff, and all of a sudden your husband decided to put something out there that you didn't want sale, or husbands, your wife put something out there that you didn't want for sale, and the person's purchasing it and taking it and hauling off your property, and you're like, wait a second, I want that back. Now listen, when you finally sell something and get rid of it for the glory of God, say glory be to God. Glory be to God. When you get rid of that thing, don't bring it back. Don't haul it back. There's a reason that thing needs to get sold. There's a reason the moving man is hauling that out of there. And the problem is sometimes we pray and we give God our fears, our worries, and concerns, and guess what we do the next day? We take it right back. Don't take it back. Lay it at the foot of the cross. Let the moving men and women, let them haul it out of there. That's what you're doing. God, come and have your way with me. Your kingdom come. Your work there, come and have your will be done here on earth. Get all up in my business. Get in my family's business. Get in my relational business. Get in my work business. Get in my school business. Lord God, would you get involved in the business of this church? Would you get involved in the business down the street of the drug trafficking and the human trafficking? Lord God, would your kingdom come into our world and our nation? Would you eradicate poverty? Would you use us to be a part of doing that? Oh, Lord God, would you come and get all up in the business of the government of the United States of America? Lord God, would you come and get all up in Hillary Clinton's business? Would you get up in Donald Trump's business? Would you get involved in this election? Please, God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Don't we all need that? And Lord God, would you cancel my phone service for the next 4 months so I don't have to hear political ads, okay? So no matter where you are in politics, every single one of us can say, oh, Lord God, your kingdom come, your will be done in America. Your will be done in Europe. Your will be done in Asia. Your will be done in the Middle East. So praise be to God. Your will be done. And this is the invitation. This is what we do when we pray. We're inviting God's activity. We're inviting the power of God. And when we pray, it activates God's power. Here's the third thing. You guys following along? By the way, you can follow along in your notes, or you can follow along on the YouVersion Bible app. If you go to the events section, the notes are in there, and you can follow right along. And that way, I won't think you're texting. You're actually studying. This is awesome. So the third thing is bring your request to God. First of all, we got to focus on who it is we're praying to. Secondly, invite God's active work into your life. Thirdly, he teaches us that we need to, when we pray, we're praying to bring our requests to God. This is the fun part. This is what we've been waiting for. This is where we just unload things to God. And this is what he says in verse 11. Give us today our daily bread. This is the request section. This is where we bring all of our concerns, whether they're small or whether they're huge, whether they're big or whether they're tall, whether it's a hot water heater issue or heal my daughter issue, whether it's cancer or a stubbed toe. It doesn't matter what it is. No issue is too big for God. He's got big shoulders. And you need to understand something with God. No issue is too small for God either. You bring it all to God. He's got broad shoulders. You bring it all to him. You be honest and sincere. He's ready for it. He's waiting for you. That's why the Bible says in Philippians, Paul writes these words, don't be anxious about anything. Well, what am I supposed to do with my anxiety? What am I supposed to do with my worry and fear? He says, but in every situation, by prayer and petition. That's how you battle fear. That's how you battle anxiety. That's how you battle worries. You want to learn how to pray really quick? Anybody who has fear, anxiety, or worry can be a prayer warrior in about 3 seconds, okay? Actually, in a nanosecond. Because what you do is, rather than stewing internally about your fears, worries, and concerns, you take those and turn them into prayers and you give them to God. That's a simple way to prayer. You turn your fearful concerns into God's prayerful provision. Oh, Lord God, care for this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So you pray over all things, big and small. Lord God, the biggest issue, care for. Even the smallest issues, care for. You know, even something like a hot water heater. I shared this illustration, but I got more from a couple weeks ago. So about a month ago, we had a hot water heater issue. I woke up on a Monday morning, and I woke up to a cold shower. That's not the way to start a Monday morning. Now, I also understand that there are so many bigger issues out there that you're dealing with and others that are dealing with, and we've dealt with in our life, other than a hot water heater. But this is for illustration purposes, and I understand the sensitive nature of the fact that we've got huge issues in our life. But I didn't have any hot water that morning, and that was a problem, because I like a hot shower. I'm one of those people where, you have to have a cup of coffee. Some of you have to have a pot of coffee to get going. But I need a shower every morning. I just need a shower every morning just to get going in my day, And so I got a cold shower that day, called the plumber later that day. Nobody else in the house got showers. And he said, I won't be able to come out until tomorrow. Okay, so I already know I'm not showering Tuesday morning. Okay, so I come into the office ripe. I mean, flies are following me. I come into the office and I hadn't had a shower that morning. And throughout the day, we're checking on the plumber to see when he was going to come. And he finally was able to make it like about 4 or 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon and evening. Got down into the basement. We got working on the hot water heater, replaced the elements, replaced the thermostats. And then all of a sudden he left and we had no hot water. So it's getting to be like 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, and I'm praying. I'm frustrated. I feel like my prayers don't work. God, you're not paying attention. So I went down and I laid hands on the water heater. I said, Lord, by the way, you know, why would you lay hands on a hot water heater? There's something about praying in proximity. And here's the important piece about this, because, you know, it seems kind of weird and wacky, but the problem is we're weird and wacky. Because you'll be all upset about your car out in the garage. You'll be on the phone hollering at somebody about it and trying to figure this out. You'll be stewing when you go to bed when you ought to be out there laying hands on that car and giving it to God. Right? See, when we lay our hands on something, what we're doing is look at your hands. We're giving it to God. God, this is yours. God, you deal with this. God, you can heal this. God, make this right. And I don't care if it's a broken toy, a hot water heater, or a house with a hole in the roof. You know, if you've got challenges in your life, go to those challenges. Go and fight on your knees and watch God go to battle for you. So I went down and I laid hands on that hot water heater because I knew if I wasn't down there, I'd be upstairs stewing about it. So I went down there and I gave it to God. Would you know that the plumber came back out at 8:30 at night? Only God can do something like that. After I prayed, he came out at 8:30 that night, and he was happy to do it. And he said, I think I got some wires crossed. He got the wires converted, got them fixed, and we had hot water. I took a shower that night. I took a shower the next morning. I mean, I was just basking in the heavenly glory of hot water. Praise be to Jesus. And so this is the moment where we come to God with our requests. We're not anxious about anything because we're giving everything to God. And talking about this whole idea of what does it mean to have daily bread? Listen, our daily need that day was hot water. My kids hadn't had showers for 3 days. Erin was at her wit's end. I was starting to funkify. I was smelling. And I was like Pigpen from Charlie Brown. I just had dust and flies following me everywhere. It was getting ugly in the household. And it's not just about getting clean. It's about attitudes. And like, Lord God, this is our daily bread. We need you to do something today. We need you to do something now. God's used to doing that because that's what he did for the Israelites in Exodus chapter 16. Remember in verse 4, the Israelites are complaining, they're belly aching, and they need to get food, and God is supplying this manna from heaven. And then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you, gather as much, the people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day alone. Each morning, everyone gathers as much as they needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. Now in there, it also instructed to say, you are not to gather more than what you needed for that day. Because if you did, the Bible said that you will wake up the next day and what you gathered as extra beyond what you needed for that day would be rotten. It would smell as bad as a dead skunk on the side of the road or your pastor after he hadn't had a shower for 3 days. Why is that? Because God wanted them dependent on him. If he would provide weekly bread or yearly bread or decade bread, guess what? People might not come back to him for a week. They may not come back to him for a year. They may not come back to him for 10 years, a decade. He says, pray to me and ask me to provide for you on this day. Here's the other reason why, not only to keep us dependent on him, but because when you start to worry about things beyond today, your mind starts going. I know I'm talking to some of the right people here today. You start stewing about what today could turn into tomorrow and what tomorrow could turn into in a week and what a week could turn into a year, all of a sudden you stubbed your toe and you played it out in your mind and a year from now your whole family's dead and the house is burned to the ground. I mean, this is where we go in our minds. It's so crazy how fear and anxiety and worry can grab a hold of us. So God says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. He says, I will get you for today. I will give you everything you need to sustain you for today. That's why we are to pray for our daily bread, because, oh, by the way, there's a lot that can happen in a day. And so it's not just asking God to provide for you every day. It's God asking you and commanding you to come to him every day. And he says, pray for your daily bread. You come to me every single day. If we go a day without praying, we miss so much of God's provision because so much happens in a single day. That ought to be the minimum. We ought to be in conversation with God throughout the day, every hour, every minute. God, take this. God, do this. God, I need you. God, thank you for that. God, you're a blessing. And have this daily ongoing conversation. But he said, at least come to me every day and lay the burdens of that day to me, and I will give you your daily provision. So that's the third thing. Bring your request to God. Fourthly, confess any sin in your life. Confess any sin in your life. We stumble daily. We've got to give it to God in prayer. Do you know how you get right with God? You give your life to Jesus Christ. You invite him into your life, and Jesus stands in the place of destruction and death for you, and he gives you a relationship with God. He forgives your sins, and he wipes them away. Now, how do you do that? By prayer. Did you know that inviting Jesus Christ into your life, you do that through praying? Oh God, would you come into my life? Jesus, have your way with me. Cleanse me of all my sins. Lord God, would you take the car keys of my life? What am I doing there? I'm praying. So it's Jesus Christ who gives us salvation. It is prayer that gives us the link to the power of salvation. And oh, by the way, when you need to confess your sins, how do you do that too? You do it through prayer. You do it through prayer. So God says, I want you to come to me, and I want you to give me all your junk and all your stuff. When the Bible says, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Oh, Lord God, would you forgive me? Lord God, would you set the record straight? Lord God, I don't want to live like this anymore. I can't take the shame and this guilt anymore in my life. Lord God, I'm feeling weighed down by the mess of my poor choices, my poor words, my poor attitude. And the problem is when you carry unconfessed sin, it will weigh you down. When you carry unconfessed sin, shame will bury you. When you carry unconfessed sin, it will mess with your attitude, which messes with your mood, which negatively influences your relationships and your family and your performance at work and the joy in your life. Don't live with unconfessed sin. When you pray, give it to God. And the main sad part about unconfessed sin is it creates a barrier between you and your Creator. The Bible says in chapter 59 of Isaiah, verse 2, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not be able to do what? He will not be able to hear. And so there is this amazing paradox in our prayer life when we're asking God to provide for us, yet we know that we haven't been honoring him in how we're living and we're not willing to confess it to him. It's one thing to mess up. It's another thing to be stubborn about it and not give it to God. So God says, listen, when you pray, let's clean house. When you pray, I'm about to do a moving party. When you pray, I'm about to pull back every blind, every shade, every nook and cranny. We're going to get this house prepped and cleaned for your new day. And so when we pray, We confess our sins to God. God, come wash me afresh. Do this new work in my life. And when we let him haul all that garbage away every single day, we can watch the floodgates open up of God's powerful provision and watch the enrichment of our intimacy with him grow in our relationship with him. So we need to confess any sin in our life. Here's the fifth and final focus, fifth and final posture or attitude when it comes to prayer that Jesus teaches. We need to seek his strength. We need to seek his strength. You see, the Bible says the battle belongs to the Lord. The battle is not meant for you, but the problem is every day as human beings, we think that our battle is with a person. We think our battle is with a problem. We think our battle is with a circumstance or situation. We think our battle is with our teenager or with our spouse, or we think our battle is with a teacher. We think our battle is with a grade or a boss. We think our battle is against a person. But you see, the Bible tells us that our battles are not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and spiritual forces of the darkness, of the dark world, of Satan's domain. And he hates our guts and he wants to destroy our life. So we say, oh, Lord God, I cannot do this thing on my own. I need your strength. I need your power. I'm going to go to battle on my knees, and I need you to go to war for me. When you pray, it activates the power of God in your life. And so that's why in verse 13, the Lord's Prayer finishes with this: and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Oh God, I'm feeling weak. God, I need you to fight for me. God, I need you to break through these barriers. God, I feel this stronghold in my life and I can't get through it. No matter what I do, I can't break free of this. No matter what's happening, I can't get my finances right. I can't get my spouse relationship right. I can't get my grades right. Lord God, I got a stronghold in front of me. I feel the power of the enemy trying to grab a hold of me, ruin my attitude and my joy. God, I need the power of heaven's armies to come and rescue me. Lord God, I feel a tug of temptation in my life. Lord God, I feel the enemy at my doorstep. I feel him trying to take my strength. I feel him trying to erode my marriage. I feel him trying to take the work that you're trying to do. Lord God, I feel like he's wanting to destroy my integrity. I'm feeling weak. I can't do this on my own. God, I feel like I'm losing ground. You ever been there before? In any one of those things, or maybe all of those things, some of you are thinking, how about today? How about today? And so in that moment, this is the prayer that we're praying. Lord God, take on all of these things. Fight for me. Rescue me from my enemy's hands. I need you to take my enemy out. Take back my marriage. Take back my household. Take back my attitude. Take back my sobriety. Prayer does that work for you in your life, for things that you can't do on your own. And when you have prayed in private, you will be prepared to live in public. When you pray to God in private, he will prepare you to deal with the attitudes and the challenges of your day. He will give you strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. That's what our God does, because you don't go to the battle on your own. He goes to battle for you against temptation and against the enemy. But that's what we do when we pray. We go to battle on our knees and God fights for us. So we seek God to help us make choices that honor him in everything that we do all day long. Lord God, guard me from temptation. Lord God, guard me from the enemy who hates my guts and wants to mess up my life. Lord God, I need your heavenly power and authority to overwhelm the forces of the principalities and powers of this dark world. You know, the Lord's Prayer is an amazing tool. Don't get hung up in the words. Don't get hung up in, you know, the Lord's Prayer is the only thing that I can pray. Look to the Lord's Prayer for a new attitude of prayer. Look to the Lord's Prayer for a new heart for prayer. Look to the Lord's Prayer for a help in what's on your heart to pray. And oh, by the way, the Spirit of God and the power of Jesus Christ will overwhelm your worries and will overwhelm your concern about your words and intercede for you. If you can't even get the words out of your mouth because life is so bad, don't worry about it. Just try to focus your heart. Grunt and groan, spit, you laugh, holler, cry, pump your fists in the air. The Spirit's got you covered. The Spirit's got you covered in the power of God. There is power when we pray. So be reminded, with this simple prayer, if you struggle how to pray, put your focus on God and lift him up. If you struggle to pray, just make sure you be reminded to invite his presence into your life and his work. His will be done, not your will. Ask him for the power of his provision and his daily bread. Focus your attitude on confessing your sins to him and seek his strength. Don't go to war on your own. Fight on your knees and let God go to battle for you. A couple of action steps will wrap up this sermon series. Number one, recite the Lord's Prayer this week with your family and walk through each step and understand a new attitude about prayer. Number two, try praying through ACTS, the acrostic, A-C-T-S. I've learned this and it's helpful for me. A is adoration. Oh, Lord God, you're my God. I'm going to worship you. C is confession. Lord God, forgive me of my sins. T is thanksgiving. Before we ask God for something, let's be thankful for what we have. And when we're reminded of how God has provided for us in the past and we're thankful for what he's done for us, then when we come to him with our needs, we know that our needs aren't going to feel so huge. And that's the last one, which is the S, supplication. Lord God, supply me. Lord God, bless me. Lord God, help me. Lord God, make a way for me. So that's ACTS. Everybody got that? It's in your notes. A-C-T-S. If you ever get lost in your prayers, just focus in on that. Adore God, confess to God, give thanks to God, and come to God with all of your needs and watch what he does. Folks, we've got over 150 prayer warriors that have signed up, and it's not too late if you're interested in being an RP prayer warrior. There's a card out there you can sign. And I want to encourage you to not stop praying every day. That's what a Rolling Plains Prayer Warrior is committed to pray every day for our church, every day for our pastor, every day for the pastor's family. If you miss a day, God is not going to smite you out with a lightning bolt, okay? It's okay. But God wants you in a daily habit of prayer. And what do you think will happen when we have over 150 people praying for our church, praying for you, praying for the pastor and praying for the pastor's family, praying for a staff member and praying for the staff member's family? God will set this place on fire in an amazing way in the power of God's Spirit. Let's watch what he does together. I have loved this sermon series with you. Don't stop the power of prayer. And you're going to be excited about next week because we're going to start a sermon series dealing with the family. Talking about the single life, talking about married people's life, talking about parenting, all of those things that happen in the different sizes and shapes of family. We serve a good God, do we not? Amen.